Grace the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather on this Sunday, the second Sunday in the season of Advent, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just have a few announcements. Would like to share with you a couple of announcements. Anyway, next Sunday will be our annual congregational incorporation meeting. December the 11th, we will have that meeting after worship, immediately after worship. So please plan to attend. A copy of the nominating committee report is found outside in the hallway. You can also pick one up in the narthex there, but please pick up a copy, familiarize yourself with it, read it, and please plan to be in attendance Sunday, both for worship and for the congregational meeting. Just a reminder, too, that the Presbyterian women will have their fall project, their mission project, adopted, in which they have adopted a family for Christmas. And so they will be adopting a family and single mothers who have been undergoing treatment for breast cancer. So please, if you want to know, have more information about that, you can see Pat McEwen. But that will also be donations will be received up until next Sunday, which is December the 11th. So donations can be given to Pat McEwen, Angel Gertler, Robin Ford, or Fluff McEwen. There are other things that are going on here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Please take the time, both, to read your bulletin. You can also go to our webpage to stay abreast of what is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church.
There's one more announcement. The current expense and building maintenance fund envelopes are available in the loggia after service. This morning's first scripture reading will be Matthew 3, verse 1 to 12. That can be found in your pew Bible on page 836 and 37. The bulletin itself, the reading that is listed under the New Testament, under Matthew, is actually the Old Testament. So if you want to follow in the bulletin, just go to the next side and look under the Old Testament reading. Please listen for God's word for us today. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather girdle around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions about the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit that befits repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, does not bear good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.
Our second reading this morning will come from the prophet Isaiah. We'll be reading from the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 10. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what he sees, by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse shall stand as an ensign to the peoples. Him shall the nations seek, and his dwellings shall be glorious. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. One of the things I appreciate about the season of Advent is that it reminds us that God has a dream. God has a dream for you. God has a dream for me. Indeed, God has a dream for the whole world. And that's important to remember, not just during the season of Advent, but for every season, for every time, especially during those difficult moments in our lives when the future appears to be closed and everything seems dark and uncertain. It's during those times especially that we are called to remember that God has a dream. God has a dream for us. That's what the prophet Isaiah wants us to know in our text this morning. Scholars are not certain of the historical circumstances that gave rise to the writing of Isaiah 11. But about 500 years before the birth of Jesus, the Babylonians swept down on Judah and totally destroyed the nation, including the principal city of Jerusalem. The gates were torn down, the houses were torn down, the magnificent temple that Solomon had built was torn down. It was a devastating tragedy, a traumatic tragedy for the people of Judah. But even more devastating than that, the Babylonians put an end to the Davidic monarchy. You'll remember that King David, the son of Jesse, Israel's greatest king, had promised to build God a house, meaning a temple. But God refused because David was a man of war. David had blood on his hands, and so it would not be David, but Solomon, David's son, who would build the temple. But God instead promises David that God will build David a house, meaning that God would give David a dynasty. David's descendants would sit on the throne of Israel forever. That was the promise that was made. But now the Babylonians with their marching armies had come in and they had put an end to the Davidic dynasty. They had put an end to the monarchy. And it was a terrible, terrible loss. Judah was like a tree that had been cut down. The Davidic monarchy was like a tree that had been cut down. No promise, no more hope, no more future. It had been cut down like an old stump. Several years ago, we planted some trees in front of the church on 3rd Street and on Tabor Road, and one late one night, there was an accident. A car struck one of the trees, knocked it down, and all that was left was a stump, an old stump, not good for anything, just an old eyesore, an old ugly stump, and that is what Judah and the monarchy had become, just an old stump. You can imagine the pain, you can imagine the suffering, you can imagine the deep grief on the part of the people of Judah. But yet it is in the midst of all of that, in the midst of the suffering and pain, that God shares God's dream with his people. And what a magnificent dream it is that God shares with them. These people who are hurting, these people who are grieving, these people who are suffering, these people who are uncertain of the future, God shares God's dream, and it's a dream of peace. It's a dream of harmony. It's a dream of contentment. We heard a part of that dream last week when the prophet said that people will beat their swords into plowshares, and that nation would not lift up sword against nation anymore. And if that sounds too incredible, too wonderful to be true, this week the prophet doubles down and he tells us that even nature itself will be transformed, so that animals that are natural enemies will not be enemies anymore. Bears and lions will no longer kill to eat, but instead will eat straw like the ox. Small children will be able to play over the nest of some of the most dangerous creatures and not be hurt. In fact, in God's dream, there will be no hurting or destroying of any kind, because the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. And when the prophet talks about the knowledge of the Lord, he doesn't mean an abstract knowledge. He doesn't mean some kind of academic knowledge. He doesn't mean book knowledge. He means that the whole world will come to know God in a deeply intimate way. He's talking about the knowing deeply God's grace, knowing deeply God's mercy, knowing God's forgiveness and love. The prophet says that such knowledge will cover the whole earth like the waters cover the sea. Perhaps you're saying to yourself, well, how in the world will that happen? How in the world will the knowledge of the Lord come to cover the whole earth? How will God pull that off? And the prophet says that it will happen through that old stump. That stump that everyone had given up on, that stump that everyone thought was dead, that old stump that is a symbol of loss and pain, it will be through that old dead stump that God will bring forth a green shoot, a new leader. A leader that the Lord himself will raise up. A leader that will be unlike any other kind of leader. A righteous leader, a faithful leader. This new leader will have the Spirit of the Lord all over him, the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. This new leader will not be like the leaders of the world. In other words, he will not be moved by focus groups. He will not be motivated by polls. But he will be motivated by the fear and the knowledge of the Lord. This new leader will be righteous, which is another way of saying that he will be virtuous. You might remember that there was a time in our own country when we expected our leaders to be somewhat virtuous. But this new leader will be virtuous. He will be righteous. He will be just. He will be just in his dealings, especially towards those who often receive very little justice in the world. He will be just in his dealings with the poor. He will be just and righteous in his dealings with those who are meek, those who have very little power. He will be righteous and just. He will not judge by what he sees, nor will he judge by what he hears. So much of what we see and hear is often what those with power want us to see and hear. But this new leader will not judge by any of that. He will judge in favor of the poor and the meek and those who often have no voice or no standing in our society. But his main purpose, this new leader's main purpose, is to bring forth God's dream, is to make God's dream a reality, even in the midst of the suffering and the pain and the disappointment of God's people. I know this time of year can be especially difficult for many. This is the time of year when feelings of loss are felt most keenly, whether we're talking about the loss of our health, or the loss of a job, or the loss of someone that we love, or the loss of our relationships, of the loss of our hopes and dreams. During this time of year, we feel that loss most keenly. And for this year, for some reason, it seems, at least to me, that loss and pain seem especially acute. Maybe it's because we're coming out of the pandemic, I don't know. But it seems like there are many in our little congregation, our little household of faith, that are going through all kinds of things. But whatever loss you might be feeling this season, I hope you'll remember that God has a dream. God has a dream for you. God wants to draw you close and engulf you with God's love. God wants to transform your brokenness and your loss into something beautiful, something that is healing for yourself and others. God has a dream for you and for me and for the whole world. Paula Dorsey is an author and a conventioneer. She has written many many books helping people in the midst of grief. She herself knows something about that grief. Many, many years ago, she was involved in a terrible automobile accident. A drunk driver crossed the center lane and hit her car head on. Her husband and her two-year-old child were killed. She herself was pregnant at the time, and both her and her baby, the baby that she was carrying inside of her, survived the crash, but in many ways she died. Overcome with grief, the hopes and dreams that she had for herself and for her family all died in that fateful tragedy. But it was in the midst of her deep grief and loss that someone told her that God had a dream for her. God had a dream of a new purpose, a dream that could transform her suffering and pain and loss and bring healing to herself and healing for others and healing for the whole world. She didn't believe it at first. She thought that her grief was too deep. But slowly and painfully, she began to turn her life towards God and God's dream. And God began to use her grief and transform her grief to reach out to other people, especially to other women, and to help others to live in to God's dream. And that's what God is asking all of us to do as well. That's what God wants us to do in the midst of this world, in this broken world, in this world that is filled with wars and rumors of wars, in this world that is filled with so much darkness, in this world that is filled with so much hatred, in this world that is filled with so much indifference. God wants us to know in the midst of this kind of world that God has a dream, and to remember God's dream. Don't let the world stamp out your hope. Don't let the world darken your vision, but to remember God's dream. Many of us Christians come to associate the virtuous ruler that Isaiah spoke about with Jesus himself. Jesus who is God with us, Jesus who broke into the midst of this world, Jesus who came to redeem us and to save us, Jesus who came to take up on himself all of our brokenness and sinfulness. Indeed, no one tells us and shows us that God understands our suffering and grief better than Jesus himself. And it's Jesus who perfectly embodies the life of his people. Jesus did not have things easy, but he comes into the midst of this world and doesn't always come into a ready reception. He is often rejected. He is often had his people turn their backs on him. He is hated and despised, and in the end, he is cut off. Cut off from his people on a cross, even seemingly cut off from God, God's self. In the cross, he becomes like an old stump. An old forgotten stump whose life has been shut down, whose future has been shut down. An old broken stump in which there's no use for anymore, an old ugly eyesore, a broken stump, forgotten, lifeless, of no use. And yet it's at that very moment, at that very time, that we are called to remember that even then, God has a dream. God has a dream for you. God has a dream for me. God has a dream for the world. God has a dream. And nothing can shut God's dream down, not even the power of death, not even our hatred, not even our rejection. Nothing can close God's dream down. God's dreams always comes true. And that's what this Advent season is about. Remember the dream. Remember God's dream for you. No matter what you're going through this morning, no matter what kind of darkness surrounding you, God loves you. God cares for you. God holds your life close to God's heart. God has a dream for you. And God wants all of us to remember God's dream for you and for me, and indeed for the whole world. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, it's during those dark moments of our lives that we begin to wonder. It's during times of adversity that we are tempted to forget. You have reminded us that you have never given up on any of us, that you have not forsaken us, that you have not left us to the ravages of the powers of sin and death. You've reminded us of your dream. And so we ask, Lord, that as we continue to live into this Advent season, that you help us to do our part to bring your dream into reality. Help us to be people who, even in the midst of our pain, bring love and grace and forgiveness to this broken world. Help us to be people of your dream. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.